1. Begin transmission.
It's 11:44 p.m. Hello, my name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, the daily meeting of which starts right now because it's 1930 UTC where you live. Obviously, 11:44 is my local time. Tee! Oh, aren't I fun? I'm pretty good.
You're fun!
Yeah, I know I'm fun. What are we doing today? Well, all kinds of weird stuff. Today, in an effort to be somewhat productive, I am working on my instant Spandau's game. I think I mentioned it yesterday. And basically what this means is I need to create a game board, which is really just a photocopy of a diagram from the PDF. The rules are available for free online if you want to play. And so, being as I had nothing to do today, and I have $2 cash in my pocket, or at least I did, I decided to go get this piece of paper laminated. It's just an 11 by 17 photocopy, and there's a school supply place near my house, not even a mile away. It's one of my favorite stores. They have the coolest stuff in there. I found all kinds of great stuff. I found some test tube clamps on sale, and oh, but I didn't buy them. You know, it's not a shopping spree. I am on a budget, and so I was going to call them and tell them to turn on their laminator, but I thought, nah, maybe they already have it on. But no, I get there, and the guy says, oh, I got turned on, let it warm up. I said, yeah, that's fine, blah, blah, blah. So while he was warming up the laminator, I was walking around. Oh, and the other thing is, their prices for lamination went down. And I thought that was odd until I realized, oh, maybe they're using a thinner lamination. And yes, that did in fact turn out to be the case. So for 75 cents a square foot, or is it a linear foot? See, they don't really make it clear and the pricing seems a little ambiguous, but I don't care because it's so cheap. And the point I'm trying to make here is that this ended up being cheaper than I thought it would be. You know, I thought it would be about $2.25. And no, it only ended up being $1.50 because they're using like 0.5 mil lamination or something like that instead of the 2.4 they used to have or whatever. Yeah, I could have gotten this laminated at the other place, but it would have cost me about $6. Yeah, we're not doing that, are we? No, we're not. And so while the laminator was warming up, I walked around and in the store and I was looking for all the cool stuff and I was looking for the sale items and I saw a bunch of stickers. I saw a whole bunch of stuff that I wanted but don't really need until I was standing in front of the little dice display. And it's not little, it's pretty big. And strangely enough, they do have dice spread out all over this store. You just have to know where to look. But in the main dice area, they've got all kinds of stuff, a lot of stuff that I already have, and blah, blah, blah. They have some unusually marked polyhedrals and I in a different spot, but I'm getting away from myself. One thing that the Koplo company makes is a die inside a die. There's a little plastic cube that's completely clear but has the pips printed on each side. Then there's a little die inside, and you can roll this one thing, and you can get a two-dice result if you're so inclined. Well, along those lines is a new thing. This thing right here. What is it? It's three tiny dice inside a large clear cube. When I say tiny dice, you know what I'm talking about. Those 4 millimeter dice that you can buy in any game store, and sometimes some games come with them. A lot of trading card games use these little tiny dice because they're super cheap and you can put them in a little envelope. There's three dice, they're red, white, and blue, and they're inside a perfectly clear, transparent larger cube, and it's not marked as a die. And so, you know, theoretically, you can roll this one cube and get a three dice roll. Although sometimes the dice stack inside, or sometimes they're cocked inside. So there, I just rolled 6, 6, 3. Or you can just sit here and shake it up and then sort of slam it on the table and roll three dice, and they stay all in one place. And oh, I had to buy it. I said, no, I don't need that, because I already have plenty of those little gimmick dice, but I don't have this thing. And it was 89 cents, and I decided to buy it. So I went over budget. My budget was $2.25 today, and I ended up spending like $2.56 or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. But I had plenty of change in my wallet to make up the difference. And I don't count round money when I'm doing my budgetary things. And so, now I've got this cool thing. So now I can play any three dice games just by shaking this cube up and slapping it on the table. There's a 5-2-2. So you can play games like 4-5-6, which is sometimes known as CeeLo, and it has some other names sometimes. And it's kind of funny, I just realized that if I rub this on my shirt, I can build up a static charge. Yes, I'm doing it. All the dice are stuck to the top. Oh, they're falling. Awesome. I can demonstrate other science concepts with this. Very cool. Excuse me for a second. Having a slight coughing fit here. I better drink some tea. It's so good. But I think I need to heat it up. Okay. That's better. Yeah, so I don't know if I bought a die today or if I bought dice, but I'm glad I have this thing. Because I do play a lot of three dice games. Now I can be more mobile with it. Woohoo! Now, the weird part is, I don't actually need this to play this game that I'm making, Instant Spandaus. Now, I didn't make this game. I didn't write this game. This is just a rule set that I found online as a PDF. And if you're looking for it, I think you can find it on the Miniature Wargaming Forum or somewhere. If you just search for Instant Spandaus, you will probably find it. But this game does not require any dice, so even though I did buy this dice thing, I don't need it for this game. Because this game uses a deck of cards to generate random numbers. And it's a pretty clever little mechanic. I kind of like it. And that's why I'm going to all this effort to actually play this game. The one other thing that I need, though, are counters. Now, a counter, this word in the gaming world, doesn't mean a thing that counts increments. It means a little piece of cardboard that has a picture of, you know, some kind of game unit plus some statistics. And so for this game, I need, since this is a World War I airplane game, I need a few little counters, little squares of cardboard that have airplanes drawn on them. And I need some clouds, and I need another strange counter called the Sun Zone to represent where the sun is in this game. And this is an odd one. It's 3x1. All the other counters are basically, you know, one unit squares, 1x1. But the Sun Zone is 3x1, and this is what I've managed to do today. I cut up one of my tea boxes because they're nice thin cardboard that's white on the inside. And on the white side, I drew, oh, just a fraction of the sun with little, you know, pointy triangles coming out of a yellow arc, like kid style. And I cut this out so it would be 3x1, and so it will fit on the board. And that's the only counter I've gotten finished so far. I'm gonna make a few clouds. I'll probably do 3 or 4 cloud counters, and I gotta do some airplane counters. I'll do at least 2. And then I started thinking, well, geez, why aren't there just some little models I could use? No, too small. These counters are approximately 2 centimeters on a side. You know, about 3/4 of an inch. You know, they're about, that's not super accurate measurements here, but that's because I'm not measuring. I'm just estimating. And so I will do that later today. I will make some more counters, and then I will be able to play this game. That is, only if my cat is sleeping, because I got home, and my cat was here waiting for me going, meow, meow, where have you been? And I said, I told you I'd be back in 10 minutes, blah, 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 because cats. And so I put the laminated piece of paper down on the floor, and I left the room to take off my coat and change back into my indoor clothes and take off my socks and blah, blah, blah. Next thing I know, I come back down and where's the cat? That's right, sitting on my brand new laminated piece of paper. I'm trying to tell her, this is not for you. But it's plastic, she says, and she's trying to chew the edges, which is fine with me because it hasn't been trimmed out, so there's all these really wide areas of just lamination. And so she was a huge pain in the ass while I was trying to trim this piece of paper. Because she kept attacking the plastic bits, and oh, it was so fun. And so then to distract her, I took one of the strips that I had cut off, and I went into the other room and I taped it onto the banister of the stairs so it would stick down. And she went running up the stairs and she got next to it. She's like, bat, 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 bat. Oh, it's the funnest kitty toy ever. And then she started chewing on it. Oh, this is fun to chew on if you're a cat. And that might have been a bad idea because I think I might have just trained her that you can chew on this lamination. But yeah, so now I don't want her to chew on this, you know, game board that I just made and spent, you know, $1.50 on or whatever. So, while she was distracted, I then taped it to a piece of masonite that I use as, you know, when I'm playing games, you know, I sit on the floor, and anything that's not solid enough, I just tape it to this 2 foot by 2 foot or 60 centimeter by 60 centimeter piece of masonite, quarter inch masonite, the stuff that you do make board games out of if you're a board game manufacturer. So I've got it all taped up. Hopefully she won't notice because otherwise who knows what'll happen. Now she can sit on it and I don't mind. It won't wrinkle. It won't do anything damage. But if she tries to pull it up off the board and chew on it, then I'll just be mad at myself for being stupid. So anyway, that's all set up and ready to go. And I guess we'll have more reports about instant spandaus later. It also occurs to me, a little bit after the fact, that if you are interested in instant spandaus, I can just send you the rules. They are free for distribution, as long as you don't try to sell them and blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes. So if you're interested, email me. You know where I'm at. Oh my God, did I just say you know where I'm at? I'm not a rapper. What I meant to say is, you know where I am. So, there you have it. Okay. What that sound means is that I just went upstairs to heat up my tea in the microwave, and I noticed my cat is sleeping. Back to sleep in her blue kitty bed. And that means I should probably get to work on some of this game stuff. Yeah, it stopped snowing. It snowed yesterday and it was snowing last night. And that was really fun for my cat. Oh, we can watch snowflakes and be crazy and look out the windows and everything's nuts. Yoo-hoo! You know, because cats. But today, yeah, no snow. That's why she's running around bugging me and being crazy and preventing me from getting anything done. Cause gotta do so much kitty stuff. Alright, what else was I gonna tell you? Oh yeah. As you'll remember, last night was the Lunar New Year, the start of the new year. And I was outside, of course, you know, lighting off rockets and various other fireworks to celebrate and chase away all the bad spirits and stuff. And so today, You know, and that was last night in the dark, right? So today, today when I went out to go, you know, get this thing laminated, when I was backing out of my garage and then sort of driving past my neighbor's house, I could see sticks from my rockets, you know, the little red sticks from little bottle rockets sticking up out of the snow in my neighbor's yard. And that made me laugh because I was like, ooh, special winter flowers, little red sticks growing up out of the white snow, and they're very visible. Oh my God, my neighbors must hate me. The big question now is, am I hungry? Am I getting hungry? Seems like I got up late today. No, I got up shortly before noon, local time, after staying up really late. But, oh yeah, I was gonna say, I ate breakfast at noon. I win. So yeah, I'm probably starting to get hungry. I need to make some food. The meal that I call lunch, that I tend to eat between 3 and 4 p.m. local time. This is good tea, though. Oh, so yummy. Oh, it's delicious. And I can tell you right now, I am going to win lunch today. I know I probably mentioned it. I got a new bag of rice when I was at the Japanese grocery store. And I got the good, good rice. Not the super, super great rice. The super, super great rice is very expensive. But I bought the goodest rice for the dollar. And I got a big 10-pound bag, and I got to open it yesterday. I used up all my mediocre rice. So today I'm having the best rice with the best Maradaizu shoyu. And I got some fresh vegetables. I got bell peppers of three different colors. Plus I got two different kinds of onions, white onions and red onions. Oh, I'm so excited. And it's all sliced up and ready to be thrown into the frying pan. With a beef puck. And I will chop it all up. And I'll throw in some garlic and some ginger and some black pepper and some red pepper and, oh, and some mirin. Of course, in this town, it's pretty hard to get honed mirin, so I've been using aji mirin. And it's pretty yummy. So I get to do that here as soon as this show is over. We got about 12 minutes to go here. And after telling you my exciting story of getting a piece of paper laminated, I don't know if I've got anything else to talk about. Oh me, oh my. Yeah, it's not all that snowy because it kind of got a little bit warm and the streets are clear, so driving around was no problem, but still I'm pretty much housebound today, so I'm looking forward to doing things like cooking, Lil, and making games, because that's what I do. I love to make games. I love to think about games. But anyway, yeah, I'm so excited about Instant Spandau's that I've actually gone so far as to, you know, build a set. I got my blue magic marker out, one of my good blue magic markers, because, you know, I've got to make these cloud counters. And I was just checking my Sharpies, and my sky blue Sharpie is pretty much dry, and I don't feel like fixing it. You know, you can sort of bring these back to life with the addition of some alcohol. But since I didn't feel like doing that, I got out one of my expensive, super expensive art markers, my Copic Sketch marker, number B05. I'm going to use this as sky blue. What do they call it? They call it process blue. And these markers are the best markers ever. Yeah, they're expensive. They're $7 a piece. You know, not like a Sharpie where you spend $7 for 8 markers. These are $7 a piece. They're made in Japan. And these are the markers that manga artists like to use And I like to use them too. So if you're an artist or any type of creative type person and you sometimes need good magic markers, oh boy, I highly recommend these. But do not let your kids get their hands on them, or your cats, because you don't want to lose a $7 magic marker. So I'm going to put that right there next to a little piece of cards, white cardstock, and I will make my cloud counters soon. What else am I doing? Oh, I got an email from my brother letting me know that two of my favorite movies are going to be on soon. First of all, The Battle of Algiers. Battle of Algiers is a very, very cool movie that can be confused as a documentary. But that's on shortly after midnight on February 3rd. And when I say midnight, I mean Eastern time. And then on February 4th, it's at like 3 a.m. Eastern time, or 3:30, Blow Up is going to be on again. Yeah, and if you've never seen Blow Up, oh, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Soundtrack by Herbie Hancock and the Yardbirds, and Verushka is in it. And I do love Verushka. If you don't know who Verushka is, she was a model back in the late 60s. She was essentially the first supermodel, and she was huge. And she's actually royalty of some kind. I'd have to look this up, but is she a countess or a marquise or something? I can't remember. But she's still alive. She's a lady of a certain age now, but I fell in love with Verushka back in the 80s. Back in the early 80s, I was very into photography with real cameras, and I subscribed to a lot of photography magazines, and back in the 80s, she made a comeback, a modeling comeback, and she was over 40 years old. But she was still smoking hot, and I was like, who is this chick? And I started looking her up and seeing what she was all about, and yeah, back in the day, she was monster huge. I mean, you think of all of, like, the Victoria's Secret angels now, she was the original that. She was the first supermodel. She was killer. And anyway, she's in this movie, The Blow Up. Because, well, as you can probably infer from the title, it does have something to do with photography, and the main character is a photographer, and there's a few scenes in the movie where he's, you know, shooting models, and in a couple of those scenes, it's the model he's photographing is Verushka, and these are just some of the best scenes you will ever see on film. And if you've ever wondered where Mike Myers got the idea for Austin Powers being a swinging London fashion photographer, this is where he got the idea. So all that, you know, Mike Myers shtick when he's being, you know, Austin Powers the photographer, that all comes from this film. And it's not done, you know, cheesy or satirically in this movie. You're sort of seeing the real deal. And it's great. And Verushka's in it, and oh, she's just great. And if you've ever wondered where all those old, like, 60s models poses came from, yeah, mostly her, and other stuff. It's great. I highly recommend watching Blow Up. And if you can't stay up until 3 a.m. or whatever to watch TCM the way I do, you can probably stream Blow Up. Either from TCM, if you go to TCM.com, you can figure out how to stream stuff from them, and it might be available in other places. Either way, it's pretty much a classic underground film. It's very good, and one of the Redgrave sisters in it is in it too. Is it Vanessa Redgrave? Yeah, and there's a couple of other 60s hotties in it, so you might want to check this out. Highly recommended. And that's been the Entertainment Report for today. One thing I'm worried about today, is the trash pickup. Because it snowed yesterday, and because the snowplows then came and plowed the streets, there's little piles of snow near the sidewalks, right? You probably have this where you live. However, the problem becomes on trash day. Because I use white trash bags and put the trash out there, I don't think these guys can see that there's trash sitting out in front of my house and that they need to pick it up. And I just realized that, you know, it's what, 3:30 p.m. here local time right now? And my trash hasn't been picked up. I haven't heard the trash trucks go by. And so I'm getting worried. Did they forget to do my street, as they sometimes do? Or did they go by and not see my trash? And so, yeah, my trash, I got smart though. I actually put my trash bag in the middle of my driveway, hopefully to improve its visibility. Otherwise, I'm going to have to make a sign. I'm going to have to get a dowel or a pole or something and make a sign with a big red arrow that says trash and point it right at the trash bag. But I'm looking out the window right now and I've noticed that no, even though it's late, nobody's trash on my street has been picked up. So, that's both good news and bad news. The good news is they did not miss my trash. The bad news is maybe they forgot to do the whole neighborhood again like they did 3 weeks ago. I swear to God, it happens once a month. I don't know what's so difficult about the garbage route in my neighborhood, but yeah. I get skipped a lot. I don't know, because there's a weird corner and the people next to me put their trash on the other. It doesn't make any damn sense. I don't understand anything. Does the city need to hire me to be their garbage route logistics coordinator? Yeah, they probably do. But it's going to cost them a lot. I won't do it for less than, oh, let's say $36,000 a year. And that's under the presumption that I'm only working 3 days a week. Oh, I'm a cruel and unusual punisher. Anyway, it's been, how long have I been indoors now? I've been back inside for at least 2.5 hours. And my feet, the tops of my feet, are still covered with very, very itchy cholinergic urticaria. And this was caused by me, you know, driving to this place, you know, that's a mile away. Put on my socks, put on my shoes, and that makes my feet too hot. And then I go outside. I drove to a place a mile away, and then I have to stand around for 15 minutes. Then I drove back. Yeah, so I had shoes and socks on for all of about 15 minutes. And that was enough to make me, you know, have an allergic reaction. How stupid is that? Now you understand why the quality of my life is so stupid. Yeah, I'm just, my feet are just, oh, it's just like hell. Ah! No amount of antihistamines does anything. And it's not like you can rub itch cream. You know, you can go to a drugstore and buy basically cortisone creams. And that has no effect because, you know, this isn't a surface thing. This is an internal, too many mast cells going nuts type of deal. Yes, I am the person with the excess of mast cells. Who am I, you might ask? Well, my name's Tobe, and I am the chairman of the Dubious Allergy Committee, a show that airs every single day at 19:30 UTC. So be sure to tune in tomorrow for more game updates, entertainment news, and random but ubiquitous tea drinking like this. It's so good. Oh, I love tea. It's so delicious. All right, I gotta go start my rice and get ready to eat lunch, so bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.